We're glad you've recognized something happened here this weekend. Encounter, our young people were active, not only here at the church, but in the community, and we're grateful to the Lord. I read a passage this morning out of Isaiah 52, says that the bare arm of the Lord has been presented, the holy arm of the Lord has been presented so that the world may see that God is the Lord and that he brings salvation. Perhaps through these young people this weekend, that is happening. And just the beginning of it, we're hopeful. We do have a time tonight. We will have South Texas Children's Home coming and bringing some students to give reports about where your monies are being spent and how they're being spent in the lives of students. I encourage you to come tonight. Many of you have given some items so that they can take those back with them to the home there in Pettus, and be a blessing to those that are serving there as well as the students. So come in here tonight. This next week, there will be a fifth Sunday sing in the evening. If you have not signed up for that, please do. There's a sign-up sheet at the information desk out in the foyer. And again, read your bulletin. There's a lot going on here. Did we have a deacon assigned to pray this morning? Brother Robert Clay Martin will come at this time and lead us in prayer. Thank you for your attention to things this morning. Listen, the music may be a little loud this morning. The youth have been geared up all week. We encourage you to participate in worship. We've been talking about worship for the last 15 weeks out of the book of Psalms and our songs of ascents. Prepare our hearts, be ready. Let's worship our God together. Scott Burks will come in a little while. He'll be bringing the word. This band will come. Noah leading the band. And Noah. Will come and lead this band and bring us to the place where we can worship our God. So God bless you this morning as we do that.
Let's pray. Father God, you are holy, you are great. You are Lord. We acknowledge you as Lord. Lord, thank you for the rain. Thank you for this group of kids, Lord. Thank you for the committee for putting this thing together, Lord. Thank you for the speaker and band coming this weekend, Lord. Lord, we ask that you start a revival with this group, Lord. We ask that you take what you taught them this weekend, Lord, and for them to go out and for a revival to happen right here in Edna, Texas, Lord, for your love to spread, Lord. We ask spread through this youth, Lord, through this church, through these people. We ask that you search us, dear Lord, and replace anything you find unfit, Lord, with you and your love, Lord. We ask that you start preparing the way, Lord, for a leader for these youth to come, Lord. Start, Lord, putting that desire on somebody's heart, Lord, and we ask that just to call somebody here, Lord, somebody that has a true calling, Lord, to lead us to put your word first, Lord, and to point us to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that we love and respect each other in the church, Lord, and our brethren, Lord, and that as Brother Scott comes this morning, Lord, just speak through him to us, Lord, and prepare our hearts, Lord, and know that all of us have things that we need out of there, Lord. And just show us that, Lord. Help us all to search inwardly into ourselves, Lord, and to get those things out and replace them with you. And for just a true revival to start right here, right now, Lord. We beg for your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, if everybody would stand and join me in worship. I know I'm super blessed to have been here this weekend, and for those of you who weren't here for our sessions before, you know, we're about to make a joyful noise, and sometimes a joyful noise is a loud noise, so be warned, all right?
Was buried beneath my shame. Oh, who could carry that kind of weight? it was my tomb, till I met you. Oh, I was breathing, but not alive. Oh, all my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb, till I met you. You called my name, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
Now your mercy,
oh, now your mercy has saved my soul. Your freedom is all that I know. The old maiden knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, say out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day. God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me, oh God, my God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. Noah, I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
One last line.
I'm
You guys sound great.
Bow with me.
Heavenly Lord, God our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning to offer our praise, Lord. As we lift up our voices, we ask that it's a sweet aroma to your ears, Lord. May our hearts be pure and our motives as well. Lord, I thank you for Noah and the band being with us this weekend and allowing us to worship with them. Thank you for Scott and his trip down here and his willingness to share with us what he's received from you, Lord. We just ask that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit as he brings a message this morning. Just open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of all that are here. We just give you thanks, Lord. Bless our tithes and offerings. Give us a spirit of love and of commitment to you, Lord, and obedience. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Now has ended in the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of light. Forever under your dominion, you're the king of my life, you're the king of my life. Oh. You reign above it all, you reign above it all, over the universe and over every heart. There is no higher name, Jesus, you reign above it all. And on the cross the work was finished. God, you poured out your life just to give us new life. Oh, now from the lips of the forgiven, just hear an anthem arise, 'cause Jesus, you're alive. Oh, you reign above it all, you reign. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name, Jesus, you reign above it all. So let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name, Jesus, you reign above it all.
You sent the darkness.
Yeah, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave, seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Well, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Well, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no high. There's no higher name, Jesus, you reign above.
Amen. Please bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, thank you so much for First Baptist Church Edna and all that you're doing here and working in the hearts and minds of these students and making moves through this church in your spirit. Please bless Scott as he gives us our last installment of the Be Loved series for this weekend, and help everybody to go forth and embody that when we leave here today. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. All right, y'all. So I have a microphone on my head, and I got one right here, and I got another one right here. So I'm ready. Are y'all ready? Come on now, you guys are with me this weekend, and you know that I like to have like, okay, there we go, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
All right, so it's Sunday morning. Anybody realize that? I mean, how cool is it on a Sunday morning we get to come and worship in a place like this? You know, when I was a kid, I was asked to preach at my church. I told the youth group this the other night, or last night, I think it was. And it was Youth Sunday, so I got to be the preacher. So I don't know if that was, if y'all do that down here, but our church, City View Baptist Church, we had six kids in our youth group, and it was pretty awesome. All six of us got to lead that day. So we were the whole staff. And but I was the preacher that day. And so I got up, and I'm really nervous. Even right now, I've done this for a long time, but I'm still like, there's something in me that's like, Scott, this is really important. Don't blow it. You know, it's like. And so that morning, I got up to speak, and they were ready for me to do the whole message. I spoke for 36 seconds, panicked, and went and sat down right over here. And the pastor was over here on this side. And so he looked over at me and kind of gave me this look, and he was like, is that all you got? And I was like, that's all I got. So he had to get up and speak. And so that was my first time in the pulpit at a church. And so that was pretty awesome. And a lot of things, I'm telling you. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was on a ski retreat one year, and my pastor in college, we were in the same room together. And he looked at me and he said, Scott, do you feel like you're supposed to be in ministry? And I said, I don't think so. I really don't think so. And he said, well, Scott, I really believe this. He said, you're either going to be a politician, he said, you're going to be a car salesman, or you're going to be a preacher. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, I of those three, I'd like to be a preacher. That'd be great. But God was stirring in me. At 16 years old, I was at a camp. I told y'all this the first night. I became a Christian. But at 18, God really got my attention. He sat down with me through a youth pastor named Greg Davis, and Greg discipled me. He sat down with me, came to my house, and we would sit on the back porch at the house, and he would get scripture out, and we would memorize verses together. We were going through the Navigators scripture memory plan, so we had these little packets, and we would read scripture together. We would memorize and quote, and I would have like accountability, and he talked to me about what it meant to follow Jesus. And so one day we were in a conversation, and he said, Scott, and I remember this like it was yesterday, all right? And so I can't remember where I was like 3 days ago, but I can remember this from a whole long time ago. He said, Scott, I really believe God wants to use you to make a difference in the whole world. And I'm like a teenager. What does that even mean? You know, when you tell somebody that, I was like, how do I even process that? I live in Wichita Falls, Texas. You know, we were literally the most average city in America. We won the award for the most average city in America. And I'm like, Greg, what does that, I mean, change the work? I mean, what? And he said, I really believe that. Through God and through what he's done in your life, I see something. And I believe this about you. And so sitting back in the back this morning, I was upstairs there just kind of worshiping with y'all and praying hard and just going, all right, God, this is like my last few minutes to make sure that this is exactly what I'm supposed to say this morning. And so he reminded me of that. And I looked down on you. I took a picture like during one of the songs. And I was thinking about all these guys in these shirts. And I just wonder, I really do wonder, what is God going to do in your life 60 years from now? You guys are like, Scott, dude, I can't even think about 6 weeks. Don't talk to me about 60 years. But I want you to, church, I want you to understand this. And I love this church. It's so awesome to be here. And it's got a rich heritage and like making a difference. We were talking last night in the hall out there about all the camps and things that God has done through this church through the years and things that have happened here. You understand this, that the truths that we have been going through this weekend, they're going to be around for eternity because we've studied about 20 verses in scripture. So that's the truth. But then the things that are going to live in your hearts, you students, I believe this with everything in me. I wouldn't be here. I believe that 60 years from now, the things we're talking about are going to be impacting your life. You're going to, maybe God's got a plan for you to get married. Maybe God's got a plan for you to have kids. You're going to be a parent. Then you're going to have kids and you're going to raise Christian teenagers. And you're going to be a parent of a teenager someday. Knowing some of y'all, that's a little bit scary. I mean, I'm just saying. Just kidding. Then you're going to be a grandparent. And you're going to impart the truths of God in a grandchild. And then someday you're going to pass on. I never will forget my dad's funeral. He died at 83 years old. And the people that walked up and talked about his faith, the things that he did as a Christian. He was a businessman. He had one person after another come up and say, you know, Eldon Burks told me about Jesus. He was in the trucking business, ran a company called Oil Transport. He's a terminal manager, middle management. That was where he landed. 83 years old, he passed away, and people lined up talking about the impact. My 5 kids in his family, all 5 of us talked about him in many ways, but every one of us talked about his faith in Jesus. That's going to happen for y'all. That's going to happen. For you students, that's going to happen. On the way down here, I rented a car and didn't really know the car. And I'm really focused. I'm a kind of focused person and I can get way too focused. And so I got so focused that I wasn't paying attention to the gas gauge in the car. I told the youth group this, but about 15 miles outside of town, it came up and said, hey, you're out of gas, in like Volkswagen language. And I was like, yeah, right. It still had like gas in the deal. And then I watched the gas gauge start dropping. I could see it like moving. And then you get that adrenaline taste in your mouth because you're like, I'm about to run out of gas. And this can be really embarrassing. I'm supposed to speak to I'm supposed to be a preacher guy this weekend. And now I can't even get gas. I'm thinking, oh man, this is going to leave a good impression. Because I was about to run out of gas. I had no doubt. I literally coasted into the gas station on fumes. I felt the car like pause as I pulled into the little gas station right on the edge of town. I made it. Literally 23 gallons of gas in a gas tank that's supposed to hold like 20 gallons. I was out of gas. So I'm going somewhere with this. So that told y'all that twice now, some of y'all. This morning when I woke up, I looked out the window and it's this big storm. It's a South Texas Gulf Coast rainstorm. I'm telling you, I think the last time I was in a storm like that, I was the camp pastor at the same camp I was telling somebody else about this morning. In Mississippi. And I was supposed to preach. We were at a camp, 600 teenagers in a room. My sermon title that night was It's Getting Dark and We're Playing in the Light. That was my sermon title. It's Getting Dark and We're Playing in the Light. So storm rolls in, Gulf Coast, Mississippi. Y'all, it blows the power supply in the camp. Lightning hits, power goes out. There's no power. We're in a room with 600 teenagers, no AC, and no way to raise a window. And there's nothing in that room, and it's dark. Y'all, my sermon title was what? What did I tell you it was? It's Getting Dark, and We're Playing in the Light. And so that was my talk. I was ready with that talk, and so all of a sudden the power goes out. I got no power. It's not getting dark. It is dark. So we met as a staff. We're like, what are we going to do? You know, we got to have the session. So we brought lanterns in, and we lit the auditorium with lanterns, and I got to preach a sermon, It's Getting Dark, and We're Playing in the Light. Does anybody in the room have faith? Are there any Christians in the room? Do you see what God did? There's a young man named Taz. I met him, long story. 25 years later, he called me in the middle of the night. Answer the phone. I said, Taz? One kid from a camp 25 years earlier. It's getting dark. We're playing the light. I rolled into this town almost out of gas. Now, here's the deal, y'all. I believe this about our culture right now. I believe we're on fumes. I really believe that in the world right now, we're kind of running on fumes. Our tanks aren't full, for sure. I don't think they're close to a half. We might even be in the quarter tank, eighth of a tank range, and the light's kind of flashing on the dashboard saying, you need to put something in the tank. And you don't need to get real complicated with it. And then the other part is, it's getting dark and we're playing the light. This morning, I was reminded of that truth. And I'm thinking about it right before I get up to speak this morning. And after we're summarizing, we're ending our retreat. And I'm thinking, my goodness, Lord, it really is dark. And we're kind of playing in the light. Several times this weekend, we've talked about some of the simplicity of the messages this weekend. I was doing a little review of 1 John, which we're going to talk about in a second. And when you study the book of 1 John, one of the characteristics of the book of 1 John is simplicity. It literally says it's simple. And so here's the deal, y'all. I want to move a lot. But I will in a second. Fumes, dark, simple. What did Jesus do on the cross? He gave everything. He died. Put him in the grave. 3 days later, it was dark. It's getting dark. Playing the light. What happened in the tomb? He woke up. He rose. He brought himself back to life. Stone was rolled. He walked out. Now it's light. He is light. He's in the world. He's brought light back. And so this is simple, right? Did he make some big giant formula and do some scientific equation and say, okay, this is all the way it works? He said, no, I'm going to die on a cross. I'm going to be buried. 3 days later, I'm going to come back out of the grave and I'm going to resurrect and I'm going to go sit at the right hand of the Father and I'm going to be there for you. And then I'm going to give you the same job I had. Simple. It's not complex. It's simple. I think sometimes we make it complex. It's simple. I'd like to tell you a little bit about just kind of a short summary of what I do on every kind of a, just so you know a little bit about who's in front of you right now. I've been in ministry, I don't mind telling you this, I've been in ministry 43 years. I'm 59. Got saved at 16, led a Bible study as a kid. At 16 years old, God put me in ministry. I've been doing this for 43 years. Random people call me out of nowhere and say, hey, we've got a retreat. Can you come? I mean, people just all over the world. I mean, it's just been like this my whole life. This is what I've been doing. Every day I wake up and I'd say, all right, God, what are you going to do today? And I pray, Psalm 143, verse 8, let this morning bring me words of wisdom, for I put my trust in you. Show me the way that I should go, because unto you I commit my soul. That's a prayer I pray almost every morning. God, what do you want to do with me? And then he just kind of takes me places. And I end up running out of gas and outside of Edna, Texas. But he got me here. Little side note on that, in the car, I didn't want to pray that God would get me to the gas station, because I was like, man, I'm really not very smart. God, you're just, seriously? But I did pray anyway. So every day I kind of wake up. We started an organization called the B-Love Project. And so you see all the B-Love shirts on. The church was kind enough to let that be our theme for the weekend. With B-Love, we do four things. We advance the gospel. We make disciples. We equip leaders. And we help at-risk children. And right now we're doing that in 10 countries. We have one little dot in 10 countries around the world. We're in the Philippines, we're in India, we're in Africa, in several countries in Africa. We're in Haiti, we're all over, we're in several places around North America. We've got opportunities. We could be in 20 countries at just like that. We've grown from one country to 10 countries in the last 3 years. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on a Zoom with all of our leaders, and it will be phenomenal. Right now, around the planet, people are praying for First Baptist Edna. People are thinking about you, and I posted a bunch of pictures, and they're looking at y'all, and they're going, yeah, there's a world changer. Look at that person. And so they're praying for you right now all over the world. So I don't know if that gets anybody in the room excited, but that gets me pretty pumped. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm from the most average city in America, and I get to do something like this. So the Be Loved Project, we'll talk about this more in a second, but that's one thing. And then I also help a lot of youth pastors around the world. We have a website called YM Now where we help equip youth pastors and train youth leaders around the world. So we do that. I have a little business that pays me money that allows me to do all these things. And then I do a lot of executive coaching and business coaching and things like that. So that's what I do on a daily basis, all right? And so I get to be with you this morning at First Baptist Church, and I really feel bad that I don't have on a jacket right now. We were talking earlier, and I was like, I got a jacket out in the car. And then I talked to somebody else, and they were like, no, Scott, just be you. Just be you. And I was like, all right, I want to be respectful to you. All right, here we go. Thank y'all for letting me share those things. So this weekend, we've been talking about be love. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is, and everybody say it with me, what?
Love.
In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. All right? And so, just real quick, what does that mean? Love was made manifest among us. Love showed up. In this, love was made manifest. It was like in the room. You know when love walks through a room, don't you? I mean, on the other side, you know when, like, something bad walks through a room. When love walks in a room, people know it. Love was made manifest among us. That God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through, what's it say? Him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I love the way the writer puts these words. Well, if God loves us, then guess what? We probably ought to love other people. If you think about it, does God know everything, or does God know only some things? I need some talk back. Does God know everything?
Everything?
God knows everything. So that means that God knows everything that you do that's really good. And he also knows those things that you do that are really bad. So God knew that the person who was good would commit murder. He knew that. You could go through all the crimes. I mean, God knows everything about all of us, but yet God loves us anyway. And then how did we get that love? Somebody tell me real quick, how did we get that love? Did we do something to work for it? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Okay, you become a Christian to get that love. But even before that, you got that love. What did you do to get that love? Nothing. You don't have to do anything. He loved us, period. He loves us knowing that we sometimes are a jerk. Men in the house, when we lose our temper in our house, and I know probably none of y'all ever do that. That's probably never happening. In my house, when I lose my temper, I got 3 daughters. Praise the Lord, I'm still alive. 25, 22, and 13. That's right, bringing it strong. Got a junior hire at my house. God knows everything about us, and yet he loves us. So if God loves us, then what should we do? Love him back. And what? love others. So I'm really serious. All right, I got to move. What would happen if, is this okay? Am I right down here? What would happen if Monday morning in Edna, Texas, like there was like this, and I don't mean this to be like romantic love or ooey gooey love, but what if in this town on Monday morning, people just went all over the town loving people? Doing acts of love, showing kindness, helping people that are in trouble. I mean, Lord forbid, buying somebody's meal in the line behind you while you're waiting. What's that? It would be a ripple effect. This man right here has the best answers in Edna, Texas, right here. He's in the house. I don't know if y'all know that. He's cool, too. He's all kicked back. He's probably blowing up a bomb or something right now on his phone. A planet? Is that what you're doing? Yeah, that's what he was doing earlier. He's blowing up planets. This man can blow up planets and listen to a sermon at the same time. That's pretty awesome. But seriously, what would happen if all over town, in your businesses, in your houses, there was like this true move of love? In session two, we talked about God's love being selfless. Remember, what were the three words? God's love is what? Did y'all hear that? Did the church hear that? I mean, that's amazing that a group of teenagers remembered anything I said. I mean, it's like, but seriously, they learned that this weekend. God's love is what? First, unconditional, selfless, sacrificial. What if we were sacrificial this weekend? What if on Monday morning you got up early? Students, look at me. Ready? What if you got up before your mama told you to? She made a face. She's like, oh man, that's too much. You're asking a lot, Scott. That's too much to ask. What if you cleaned your room before you were asked? Come on now. She's making another face. I mean, what if you walked in the kitchen and said, mama, go sit down? I don't know why I'm saying mama all the time, but anyway. Mom, why don't you go sit down? I'm going to do the dishes. Hey, guess what, mom? Somebody gave me a gift card for my birthday, but I'm going to give it to you, and you get to go to Chili's out with dad next week. Sacrificial. That's, now we're talking, all right? Some of y'all are like, well, Scott, I don't know, man. You're kind of saying stuff we didn't really agree to. Sacrificial. Okay, I got to get back up here because I don't know what my notes are. What would happen? There's a phrase on the screen, made by love, made to be love. I was teaching a Bible study at my house one day. We had a group of students. We did this big Bible study in the garage. It was amazing. It was so much fun. Teenagers would come, and it would literally be, I'm not joking, it would be me and a bunch of students in the room. 30, 40, 50 students would come in a hot garage in North Texas. And we would study the Bible. They would have a little food in the house. They would come out in the garage and we would do the Bible study. So one night in the Bible study, this phrase hit me, made by love, made to be love. Because it hit me. I was like, who made me? Well, God made me. Well, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, God is love. Love made me. Say it with me. Love made me. Love made me. You are made by love itself. God, the creator of all things, made you. God is love. Have you ever thought about that? You're made by love. And not only are you made by love, you are made to, and this is our little name, but you are made to be love. That's why God made you. Made to be love. So I got a simple question. I said it was going to be simple. It was, why did God make humans? Ever thought about that one lately? I really like to think about, I'm not very smart, and so I need to go like super basic in my own life. And so I'm thinking, well, why did God make humans? So we got the Be Love Project, be who God made you to be, love God, love others, be love every day, reflect the love of God. That's kind of what Be Love is. But I was like, well, why did God make humans? And so I did a little Bible study, and I love to say these words, and I want everybody to say these words with me. Say, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. All right, see, because we're a Christian organization, this church is a Christian organization, we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ found in the Holy Bible. Okay, we're not getting our instructions outside of something outside the Bible. We get everything inside the Bible. That's where it comes from. We can read other people and stuff like that, but when we want to know what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, we get it from God's word. And so according to the Bible, God made humans for several reasons. This was really fun. I'm just getting on the internet. I'm like asking the question. And this is what I learned. First and foremost, God created humans to have a relationship with him. Agree to that? Okay. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. We're going to look at that in a second. We read that God created humans in his own image and likeness, which means that we are designed to reflect his character and nature. This includes our ability to love, reason, create, and make what? You're made. According to the Bible, he made you for this. Let's look at Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So the first answer to why did God make humans is God made humans to be stewards of his creation. All right? Relationship with him, take care of the creation. Is that simple enough? And that's Genesis chapter 1. Those are two things that God wants for humans. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Answering the question, why did God make humans? Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So we're in that all things. We're in that category. We're in this verse. And so it says here, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor." So we are made to be with God, and then to give him glory and honor. Some of y'all are like, "Well, Scott, God made me to be a dentist." True. But you're still not away from, or you can't get away from, you're made to give God glory. That's why you exist. I mean, this is like simple. There's a lot of reasons God made humans. I'm giving you a few this morning. All right? So that's Revelation 4. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. What's this verse, what's it called? Like, what do we name this? What's this called? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. The Great Commission. So Jesus is talking to his great friends at the very end, and he said this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Hey, real quick, again, simplicity, but how much authority was given to Jesus? All authority. Wait a minute, but does that mean like the president of our country has to like tell Jesus what to do? Wait, does he have to get permission? I mean, is he in charge of everything? All authority on heaven and earth? Does that mean that? Does that really mean that? All authority was given to Jesus. It means that. So then Jesus looks at them and says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." One of the reasons you're alive today is to make disciples. Why did God make humans? To make disciples. That's Matthew 28. And he doesn't just say go to like the state of Texas. He says go everywhere. He does say go to Edna, for sure. What's the rival town around us right now? What's the town that if I said the name of the town, you would all go, huh? Okay, I can't understand it, so I'll just say that town. Okay, thank you. Industrial. Thank you very much. My ears don't work very well. They're old. Industrial. Does God love industrial? Do you think one of y'all should go to industrial and tell people about Jesus? Maybe. I like that honest answer. Maybe. We had a youth intern when I was a teenager, and this was not good advice. He told us not to witness to uncool people. He said, we'll be in heaven with him forever. So anyway, so I was like, dude, he played football. He was like a lineman, a huge guy. And I was like, don't witness to uncool people. But sometimes we don't want to spend time with those kind of people, right? God says go everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? Obey. This gets left out a lot in the Great Commission. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Okay, so get this. Jesus discipled those people that he's talking to because it says, everything I commanded you. So if Jesus was a disciple maker, then what should we be? We should be disciple makers. I mean, it would be a lot of fun for me to get to have my funeral early. I'd like to have it before I die. I don't know if you ever, no, you don't want to do that. Because here's the deal. I'm a results-oriented person. I want to know. I really want to know, did it work? I would love to know, did it make any difference in your life, me coming to all the way down to Edna, Texas? That's what I want. I got one thumbs up. All right, here, very good. We got two thumbs up. We got three thumbs up. Okay, that's enough thumbs. All right, very good. Gig them. I know y'all are all Aggies. I see what you're doing. I really do. Did it work? Here's the truth. It did work because Jesus told us to do it, and it worked for him, right? He sent those guys out, right? Hey, go to the world. You know, one of those people was Thomas. What's Thomas known for? Rhymes with outing. That was a joke. Doubting what? Thomas. Thomas. I like the way he said that. Doubting Thomas. Did you know that Thomas died a martyr in India like 70 years after the resurrection? Doubting Thomas. Hey, Jesus, I got to see your hands. I got to really know, Jesus. Is it real? Is that really you, Jesus? Yeah, I just walked through I just showed up in the room without a door, Thomas. Yeah, it's me. Well, that's great, Jesus. Really cool. Great trick. Show me your hands. Let me see. Okay. Thomas believed. And then he went. Oh my goodness, he went to India. It worked. The Great Commission worked. I mean, we are in this room today because the Great Commission worked. Pastor Naveen is in India right now as a part of B-Love's team in India. Thanks to Thomas. Naveen. Isn't that a cool name? I already told you all this once. I was like, why couldn't I have a name like Naveen? That would have been cool. Naveen Burks. That sounds a lot better than just Scott. My dad's funny. One day he was talking to us and he's got two boys. So all three of us were sitting there, and he goes, you know what? This is really unique. He said, my name's got five letters in every name. James Eldon Burks, five letters. And my brothers are big-time smart alecks. I'm not. My brother Jerry goes, that's interesting, Dad. Jerry Glenn Burks. My name's got five letters in every name. And then my other brother James goes, James Thomas Burks. Well, my name's got five letters in every name, too. And then I went, David Scott Burks. And so my dad was so pumped that he had five letters in every name that he didn't think that existed anywhere in the world. And then his three sons all had it. So anyway, that was just kind of a side note. I have no idea where that even came from, why I told y'all that story. It's just one of those random things that popped in my head. My dad's in heaven right now, and I believe in the cloud of witnesses. And so he's probably up there going, Scott, just move on with the talk. Anyway, and so... All right, y'all, why did God make you? Let's get real practical. Yes, sir. To help people know what he did. Yes, sir. I told y'all, smartest guy in Edna, right here in the house. I wrote down these five things, five things. Wait. Thank you. Six. One, two, three, four, five. Yep, sorry. A relationship with him, that's first. That's why you're alive. So this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus? 1 John 5 says, if you have Jesus, you have life. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have life. How do you get Jesus? You invite him into your life. Jesus, I want you to come and save me from my sins. I repent. Will you save me? Jesus, I invite you into my life. God, please come into my life and save me and give me eternal life. I want to live the rest of my life with you. Have you done that? Second one, take care of creation. That's one of the reasons you're alive today. Take care of things. That includes your family. That includes the church. That includes the things. That's your business. That's all the things that are in under your care. All right? Take care of these things. Third, bring him glory. Every day, bring him glory. That's every day. You don't get to take a break. It's relentless. Every day, God, I'm just giving you glory. Advance the gospel. Y'all, I am, oh my goodness, I could talk about this piece right here the rest of the day, advancing the gospel. I didn't have it printed, and I'm so frustrated with myself, but I built a little website called John 3. This happened at the last church I was at, and those little kids got frustrated with me, and they started crying. I asked my brother to come preach for me at a little church. I was youth pastor one time. He showed up. His first words to the church were, well, last time I preached, I had 44 decisions. All of them to leave the church. So that was his opening. I got funny brothers, I'm telling you. I built this little website called john316.today. So it's a little website. You can put it on your Instagram, you can put it on your socials, you can put it on the church website. It's free. There's no like nothing that says, hey, this is owned by anything. It's just a website, but it literally will take you through the gospel. If you don't know how to share the gospel, it's sitting there, john316.today. Side note on that, I built the whole website in 4 hours. The whole website, start to finish, 4 hours. Went on to see if a good URL was ready or available. Who would have thought that john316.anything would be available in 2023? If you know anything about websites and URLs, it's hard to get a good URL. I do that for a living. That's one of the ways I make money. It's hard to get a good URL. Y'all, I built that website 2 months ago. John316.today was available 2 months ago. It cost me 99 cents to buy that URL. It's the full gospel, y'all. Everything you need to know, all the way down to a prayer. So if you want to know how to share the gospel, you can do that. Pass that on. If you want somebody to say yes to Jesus, send them that link. All right, here we go. Advance the gospel. This is one of the reasons I'm alive. Today, most likely today, I'll get a chance to share the gospel with somebody outside this building. This is the fun one. This is a blast. This is the easier one. Last night, I went to a little restaurant. I wasn't really hungry. I didn't need to eat anything. I really didn't, but I was kind of like little like whatever. So I went to a Mexican food place and ate a gigantic plate of food. I was the last person in the restaurant. Lady working at the restaurant runs the place. She's exhausted. It's after 10 o'clock at night. Wait staff is in there. They're all looking at me. And I'm like, can I come in? And they're like, okay. So I bought a whole lot of food and I left a really big tip. But here's what happened. I got to share the gospel last night to the person. She got to hear about Jesus. I invited her to church this morning. She had to work. I was like, will you pray for me? I need all the prayer I can get. Pray for the church that it doesn't like completely dissolve after I leave. Got to share the gospel with her. Y'all, the name Jesus was being pronounced out loud in a Mexican food restaurant last night at about 10:15. Standing up, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Advance the gospel. Are there any evangelists in the room? Anybody like this is my thing, I love this? You don't have to raise your hand. By the way, I don't believe anybody gets a pass. I don't believe you get to say, well, I'm a Christian, but it's just not my gift. You know, I love Jesus, and I know there's a heaven, I know there's a hell, but it's just really not my gift. I don't know, I just kind of don't really think I'm not very good at it. I'm terrible at it. I lose my train of thought. Y'all, God has given us the gift of life. He's in you. He's in us. So tell somebody. I've had one person in my life tell me they didn't want to hear about Jesus. And they lived in Austin. I'm not joking. One person. I love to share my faith in grocery stores and 7-Elevens. And up north we have QTs and Buc-ee's. Oh my goodness. I was in a QT one day and the Lord said, Scott, share the gospel with the person working at the counter. I said, Lord, I looked around me. There's like 17 people waiting in line. And it was like clear as day. The Lord was like, you need to tell that person about Jesus. So I'm like, Lord, you don't understand. I'm literally having this dialogue. And so inside me, I was like, I can't do it. And so I am not exaggerating in any way, shape, or form. I turned around. I was like, people are all around me. I turned back around. And there were 3 workers at the counter. When I turned back around, there was 1 worker. The person that I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell. There was 1. So I got that part cleared. And I'm not exaggerating. I turn around and the people who were all standing in line all went to get other things. Now it's me and 1 person. And the Lord said, you're going to do it? I said, all right, here we go. And I looked at the person. I said, hey, listen, I don't know what you believe about this. I said, but I'm a person who loves to pray. I'm a Christian. And I believe I'm supposed to pray for you. Is there something I can pray for you about? And in the QT, in a matter of a split second, the person looks at me and goes, yeah, there is. We just moved to town. Our family's a mess. My mom is completely stressed out because my dad's nowhere in sight and my brothers and sisters are all confused. And I said, you know what? Jesus asked me to share with you. And so I just want you to know he's got the answer. And I told him about Jesus. And I said, I'm going to pray. And y'all, I promise you, as my mama would say, on a stack of Bibles, when I turned back around, all the people were back. The workers flooded back in, and now the whole thing just went back to normal. And I literally was like, did that really happen? Don't get me wrong. Nobody disappeared. Nobody poofed and went out. But what the Lord did do was he isolated us for about 2 or 3 minutes so we could have that conversation, and then it all went back together. That's what God does. Last part here, why are you here? Why did God make you? I believe God made you to use your gifts. Any firemen in the house? God made you to use your gift as a fireman. Any police officers? Use your gift. Any educators, teachers? Can you say Jesus in public school? You can, you can. They say all the time, there's no prayer in school. I'm like, every time there's a test, there's prayer in school. I'm telling you right now. Use your gift. Are there any designers, artists, creatives, songwriters, poets, anybody in the room like that? I mean, use your gift. Hey, y'all, there's a survey that just happened up in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Barna Research Group did a study on teenagers. And they say that in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, if we don't see a reversal, that churches are going to be half of their size in 2050. Half of the current size in 2050. Because you've got all these students leaving the faith. So we're working on a plan up in the Metroplex with a bunch of youth leaders. They also did a study to find out what influences a kid, a teenager, with like spiritual things. Do y'all know what the number one influence of a teenager on spiritual things is? Scientific research. The number one thing is a spiritual hero. Somebody who lives for Jesus, loves Jesus, and takes time to spend time with teenagers. How do you spell the word love? T-I-M-E. The number one, he's like, no, you don't. I love this guy right here. You spell it L-O-V-E. I know, it's on my shirt. I have to look in the mirror just to make sure. But Y'all, seriously, the number one spiritual influence is called a spiritual hero. As an adult that will take time to help that young person follow Jesus. Do you know where parents showed up on the list? They didn't. Scientific research, George Barna. So adults in this room today, Pastor, I know you guys have got an incredible like discipleship program, and I know there's men and women in this house that love teenagers. It's proven out this weekend. You know, you're here, adults, to be a spiritual hero for some of these students right here. I'm really serious. I would love to know, like, I would love to hear a sound or see a head nod or something if you believe me. Do you believe this? So what's it going to take? I can tell what it's going to take. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some unconditional love. It's going to take some selfless love. Wait a minute. That's what we talked about. That's what God did for us. So will you do it? Pastor, when I was a teenager, I told my pastor, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to be in ministry. And he looked at me and he goes, you know you'll be poor. That's what he told me. I was like, well, that's not very encouraging. And he goes, no, seriously, you're going to have to give up a lot if that's what you feel like God wants you to do. And you know, it's been a crazy ride, awesome ride. I love it. My biggest hurts in life have been in ministries. My greatest joys in life have been in ministries. So why are you here? Do you believe it when I say you're made by love? Yes or no? Do you believe it when I say you're made to be love? So students, what does it look like to be love? Somebody tell me out loud real quick. We're out of time. Somebody tell me. Love God, love others. You got to be who God made you to be. Love God, love others. The phrase be love. So when y'all see these shirts, when you're walking around your school, somebody says, hey, what is that? This is the point. This is your chance. You can back off or you can say, you know what? I'm a Christian and God is love and I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to love even you. You don't have to say even you. That probably wouldn't be the best thing to say. All right. So church, when you see all these shirts running around later on, just know that that's the mission. We've got all the slides. Houston's got all the slides from the weekend. It'd be fun to go back and see how many passages of scripture we covered over the weekend. It's been a lot. It's all in the Bible. This isn't a little human deal. All right? All right. Let me look at my notes here because I know I wrote down a couple things. Okay. Decisions. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. It's a haunting verse for me. Proverbs 14:23 says, it says, in all labor there is profit, but talk leads to poverty. You know when God gave me that verse? You don't know, because I mean, it's like, how could you know that answer? God gave me that verse when I was in seminary, and I was around a lot of talkers. In all labor there's profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. I know this church, and I know about you. I mean, I feel a little bit like Paul. I mean, I've heard about you. I mean, Bethany, I've known her, and I mean, my goodness. And so I've known about this church, so I know you're not just talkers. And so I looked at the population in Edna. I think there's just under 6,000. Is that right? 59, 68, or something like that. You know how fast you could reach 6,000 people? Just do the math. If we replicate what we're doing in Haiti right now 16 times, we get the whole country. In Cuba, I have a friend, they can identify over 1 million people in Cuba that their ministry is impacted. Do the math. How fast can you get to 6,000? You could reach this whole town in like 3 months. Every one of you go find 10 friends. At your school, just say, all right, God, I'm gonna share my faith with 10 people. And I'm going to teach them how to share their faith. If 10, you reach 10, and you reach 10, and you reach this whole front row, that's 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 110. You're out of school, right? Okay. 100 students right there. If those 10 reach 10, oh, wait, you snuck in there too. There's 90. There's two adults. So, but look at this. Those 90, if half of those reach, just do the math. It happens fast. It could happen. Do you want it to happen? Who was the person who prayed? Was it at the beginning? The deacon? Right there. Yes. You prayed for revival like 4 times in your prayer. You said the word revival several times. Do y'all know we're in a revival right now? Does anybody know that? We're in a revival. The world is coming to Jesus. I mean, it's crazy the numbers around the planet. I got goosebumps all over me. My head just grew a little bit of hair just then. I can feel it. Because it's happening. So, man, let it come to Edna. All right, y'all. In preaching class, they teach you how to land the plane. Okay? They call landing the plane. I've never been a very good plane lander. One of the reasons is because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to leave anything out. So, with these words, I love you. Be love is not just a thing I wear. It's a way of life. I pray that it's a way of life for you. I'm going to be around. I loved it. Gentleman right here in the front row, smartest guy in Edna, came up to me last night. He goes, hey, can I have your phone number? Let's stay in touch. I'll give you all y'all my phone numbers if you want them. All right? Let's stay in touch. If you're on social, you can find me at Scott Burks. I'm old, so I got just my name. I don't have to have a year or underscore or anything like that. It's just at Scott Burks. But seriously, on Instagram or Facebook or, you know, I got off TikTok. I got bored with that thing. But let's stay together, okay? I really care about you. I care about this church. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm praying for your youth pastor. It's going to be cool. God's coming. He's got something great. All right? Father, I just I bow before you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me this weekend. And Lord, I pray, God, in your name, that the things that we've shared will grow. And Lord, I think I saw somewhere on one of the slides that on Wednesdays, there's something about deep roots. Lord, I really pray that there would be deep roots, Lord, in these things that we've shared today and last night and Friday night would grow deep. Lord, I'm confident in your word. I'm confident in your spirit to take these things now and multiply them. And Lord, I know they're going to happen. And Jesus, I pray this in your name. Pastor, thank you so much for letting me have this opportunity to be here this morning.
All right. Now I'm preaching. No need to. Listen, the word has been sent and sowed. Now it's time for us to respond. Isaiah chapter 55, the prophet, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, God said, my word will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what it's been sent forth to accomplish. God sent Scott down here, this band down here, for a purpose. You're sitting in this place for a purpose. Now, let's let God do his work in our heart. Let's be submissive as he gives us opportunity to respond. That's still part of worship. You've heard me say that many times. This is our worship. Now to respond. Let's take time to do that this morning. God bless.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope. Without light, till from heaven you came. glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three. Build the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Let's sing that chorus again.
Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
Amen.
Thank you all very much. Please be seated. We have a couple of families here that have come this morning. Since they came first, they've filled out paperwork here. The Taylor family, come stand by me. This is Stuart and Christy, and of course, children Julianne, Ty, Victoria, and Catherine. Stuart and Christy come from First Baptist Church of Monahans. They would like to transfer their letter, come and make their membership here with us. They've been visiting with us, worshiping with us, serving with us, really, over the past few months since the school year started. And we're glad to have them. It's been good to get to know them. And what a lovely family that they have. And so if you're glad that they've come, desire to join us, please indicate that. Wonderful. All right. And we will be working with the family for the children to follow in baptism in the days to come. Listen, we had a child dedication not long ago. Well, that's what this is, too. This is a dedication. We're committed, a family that's come in our midst, to also invest in them as they come to the place where they'll follow the Lord in that way. All right. And then, let's see, paperwork. Heather, okay, and Daniel Harper, and the girls, Brianna and Chloe, also Harpers. Come on up. This family also has been kind of visiting with us off and on over the past few years, and we've made visits in the home. We've talked with them. The children have been coming and now are a part of the encounter this weekend. And the girls say that they have trusted Christ. They'd like to follow him in baptism. Mom and Dad are coming, and they're bringing their, where, your letter? First Baptist Church Muleshoe. And so they'd like transfer their letters and then with the girls to come on the pending profession of faith and baptism. And so if you're glad they've come, we will be voting officially on all these. But all of these folks will be up here at the conclusion of the service. We encourage you to come by and extend a hand of welcome and love and a commitment to help them to kind of feel a part. And we're glad you've come. I'll let y'all finish filling out these things. As soon as the service is concluded, y'all come back up here. I'm going to go out to the back and welcome folks. Say goodbye when you leave. So go ahead and be seated at this time. Tonight, what's tonight? South Texas Children's Home is coming to bring a report. We encourage you to come, be a part of that, celebrate with us. We give in our budget, we give to the South Texas Children's Home. Some of you may give individually as well. If you have canned goods, things of that nature, there's a list out in the foyer of what you can bring. If you've not brought anything, bring that. We're going to try to send them home with a whole lot of stuff so they have things to bless the camp with. So that's going on. And then also next week we will be worshiping together. We have Fifth Sunday Sing. And listen, the week after that, I'm trying not to call it revival. And let me, there's a whole story behind that. We're calling it Time in the Word. And we're just going to come and hear God's word and see what God moves and does in that. I believe revival will happen. But I'm afraid if we title it revival, we'll just come with the old revival habit and we'll just sit here and then it'll be gone. Let's get in the word, listen to God speak to our hearts and respond accordingly. So that's still a couple of weeks away. Lots going to be happening. Details are in your bulletin. Let's be ready for that. Don't plan anything else. Let's be here for that time in the word. All right. Let me get this mic out of my hand.
God bless you. See you.
All right, so over this weekend, after every service we've had, we've done this thing that we do at my church for the youth, which we call Hug and Pray. And it's a benediction, it's a prayer that we end the service with. So what I'm going to ask everybody to do is to stand up. I know a lot of standing and sitting, you're getting your squats in today, but you'll get there. Band, you can go ahead and get off the stage. Or on the stage, that's fine. So we ask you to put your arm around your neighbor, hug somebody you love, and sing these words with me.
May your peace be an anchor in a stormy tide. May your hope run like a river that'll never run dry. May your burdens grow light, may your worries subside. This is my prayer for you. May your soul grow deep, may your joy run wild. May your heart know the face of mercy has smiled. May your faith come to let you believe like a child. This is my prayer for you. This is my prayer for you.
Go in peace.